Chiyoko now. Here's a Honduran. He'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantanita! It's a Honduran connection.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The second hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Quick moment here for my friends down at Advantage BMW. Now, I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned. I love the drive of the BMW, and the engine purrs so well, I've even parked here at ESPN 97.5 and left my car running. It's so quiet. I drive a 5 Series. I absolutely love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at Advantage BMW Midtown. Second to none. They're going to get you covered. Sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get that hometown advantage at Advantage BMW Midtown, BMWHouston.com. Advantage BMWHouston.com. Go down there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio. They love soccer. Time now for an interview. Our Dynamo General Manager, Matt Jordan. All right, joining us now, Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan. Matt, thank you for coming on a second week in a row. And obviously today, a number of roster moves announced here as you begin preparing for 2019, which includes the CONCACAF Champions League. Talk to us a little bit about the decisions that were made today and how tough were any of these decisions?
Yeah, no, Glenn, first of all, thank you very much for having me on air tonight. Look, it's never easy. And there's always tough decisions that have to be made. We feel we're bringing back a good, strong core of players that is a real key foundational pieces of the team. You know, some of the players who we declined options on or who are out of contract as well. You know, there are ongoing discussions going on with a handful of those guys, and so it's a process. You know, anytime you enter into the off season, you know, there's so many different things going on, and this is kind of the first step of many as we're entering into the reentry draft stages 1 and 2, and then going into the expansion draft and free agency and all these different mechanisms within our league. And so, but we're looking forward to it.
So for the players that contracts expired after the 2018, Arturo Alvarez, DeMarcus Beasley, Philippe Senderos, Andrew Wenger, do you want all four of those back?
Well, we've extended offers to return to DeMarcus and to Andrew Wenger. Arturo, at the moment, you know, he's a free agent, and so he is obviously exploring free agency at the moment. And Philippe, you know, we don't anticipate we'll be back next year. So, you know, each player's situation is unique. You know, I mean, with a guy like Philippe, you know, we're very appreciative of everything he brought the last two seasons. You know, just with his professionalism and everything. But, you know, I think also for him, he's analyzing, you know, what's going to make sense for him with his next step with continuing to play or looking at that next stage of his career.
So the way I read this press release, it says the loan for Luis Gil is set to expire December 31st. The word finally is in front of that. Does that mean it's likely Luis Gil will not be back? He'll go back to Querétaro?
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, I'm not able to comment on specifics, you know, with regards to his loan and the, you know, the acquisition elements of the deal and at this time, you know, that's, you know, something that there's a lot that goes into that. You know, at this time, we don't anticipate with the structure of that loan that Luis will be back.
Let's go to Tyler Derrick, because there's not a lot on him. He's now 30 years of age. What's the status for Tyler Derrick? Is he going to be competing for the number one goalkeeping position?
Well, listen, every goalkeeper on our roster is fighting for the number one job. And that's an area where we feel we're very well covered. You know, we have really four very talented goalkeepers there with Joe Willis and Tyler Derrick and Chris Seitz and Michael Nelson. And I have to say, I think Michael Nelson, who's obviously a Houston native, we believe he has a real bright future. So that's going to be a department that's going to be a knockdown, drag-out fight for sure with regards to our goalkeepers.
All right, you recently signed a 17-year-old academy product, Eric McHugh. He's a center back. He's 17 years of age again. He's got FIFA nationality of the U.S. and Sweden. Is he the real deal? Is this a kid you really think can get MLS minutes this year? Because he is listed on the roster.
Yeah, no, obviously, Eric's been a standout performer for us with our 17s and 19s, been training with our first team throughout the year. He really, really benefited from, spent time this summer with our USL team, RGV. And, you know, Eric, what's important, and yeah, we do believe he has a bright future ahead of him, and he's a very talented kid with an unbelievable mentality, with unbelievable growth mindset, and just very, very humble and eager to learn. But what's important as well, Glenn, is, and you see this throughout the league, you know, we need to stick to a process with him. He's continuing to play with our 19s and the DAs at this time. He'll come in the preseason, you know, and we'll continue to make sure that we balance training and game minutes and USL, and that the process is really important, you know, so then when he does get his chance, the first team is ready.
He's Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager. We're talking about the early stage. You know, you get excited here when deals are beginning to be made. Are we going to see a lot of activity here now in the next couple of weeks with the knowledge that you guys got CONCACAF Champions League right around the corner?
Yeah, we got a lot of coals in the fire right now. I've been on the road quite a bit, heading out of the country again tomorrow for the next 5-6 days. So, you know, our goal heading into the off season is to continue to strengthen each line. And obviously, you know, there's a lot of preparation going on with regards to our preseason and you know, our game schedule and just being very meticulous with our planning because, you know, we're going to be playing international soccer a little bit earlier this year, which I know you and our fans and everyone's real excited about here in Houston.
Any lines, any information you can give us on the acquisition of central defenders and what part of the world you're looking for them in?
Well, we are continuing to look to strengthen our defense. You know, parts of the world we're looking. You know, I mean, we spend a lot of time in South America, we spend a lot of time in Central America, and we spend a lot of time in Europe as well. So those are the real three key areas for us. We'll be in Europe the next, Wilmer and I will be together in Europe the next 5-6 days, and watching some games and that'll, you know, we've hit the road a lot together in the off season. So we're looking forward to this upcoming week.
All right. So my guess is that, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong, cause I'm wrong often. My guess is that Alejandro Fuenmayor, you believe now after a year in MLS, is a starter as a center back. If that's the case,
say, you know, Alejandro. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Did you finish your question?
Well, I was just going to say, if that's the case, what kind of center back are you looking for to complement him?
Yeah, Alejandro obviously had a very good season. You know, I think he progressed a little quicker than we had planned heading into the first half of last season. Some of it was a little bit baptism by fire. Due to some of the unfortunate injuries we dealt with, but you know, we felt that he responded well. Kevin Garcia also had a good second half of the season. You know, I think what's important is just to have, you know, a key foundational piece there, and that's really what we're looking for. You know, heading into the off season, is a key player. You know, anytime you're building a team, you want to have your spine, your team, you know, strong. You know, starting in goal up through the center of the defense, up through the center of the park, and then up top. And it's, you know, and that's our focus heading into the offseason.
Do you need leadership? Do you need that one real inspirational leadership type guy in the team?
I think you always want more leadership. I mean, you can never have enough leadership. But I, in saying that, you know, I do believe we've got a really good core of leaders. Some that are more natural leaders, some that are more emerging leaders on the team. I mean, you know, I think if you look at our squad, you know, obviously DeMarcus last year, you know, he's always an important leader. Juan David Cabezas, you know, we know how important he is. You know, you see, you know, guys like, you know, Martinez that are continuing to grow into that role, and Boniac is growing. Getting AJ back, you know, he's a leader by example, without a doubt. You know, it's such a winning mentality. But you can never have enough leaders, Glenn. And that's I think if you ask any general manager or any head coach in MLS that question, they'll say the same thing.
Great stuff here from Matt Jordan, the Dynamo general manager. The Dynamo putting it together ahead of 2019, and also the addition of CONCACAF Champions League play. So my gut tells me that Dylan Remick, Max Steves, declined contract options, obviously probably due to health issues and injury, and Machado and Leonardo probably due to age. Would that be correct?
Dylan and Mac, who are both unbelievable people, had difficult years this last year, and also very good players, had real difficult years from a health standpoint. Yeah, it wouldn't be fair for me to really comment on each individual situation. But I will tell you that we have a tremendous amount of respect for both players. And I think time will tell with both those players, if they're going to fit within the framework of the team moving forward or not. But the harsh reality of our league is that, decisions have to be made. And today was that day. And so we had to make some tough decisions, and that's never easy.
Sure. Is there a desire to get some cover at the number six position for Juan David Cabezas as well?
I think an area where it would be nice to add another piece. We did miss Juan last year. Darwin and Eric. I think both were positive contributors to the team. Oscar, I think had a standout season. I think we'd all agree on that. And Eric Bird, gave us some good minutes. But that's an area I think that we want to look to strengthen as well.
Matt, this is great stuff. Thank you very much. I think our listeners and Dynamo fans are going to really appreciate this update from you and going deeper on some of these transactions. Everybody loves to play GM, But it's one thing to be playing it. It's another to be actually doing it, which is what you're doing. So thank you very much for coming on.
If anyone wants to join me over at the Houston Sports Park, I'm usually here until about 7, 8, maybe 9 at night sometimes. So they're welcome to come over and we can talk about the team.
Be careful what you wish for, Matt.
Yeah, no, I know.
You might have 25 people outside your office telling you what you need.
All right.
All right, safe travels, and thank you very much for the update. Our thanks to Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan for coming on here tonight. Some great insight from him. Hey, before we go to break here, quick word for Liberty Kitchen. They got locations in Memorial. They've got locations in the Heights and also Post Oak. Our good friend Carl Eves, Lance Vegan, they do it up right there. They got great oyster bars. They got an oyster menu coming now. It's a lot of great happenings at Liberty Kitchen. We also thank Carl and Liberty Kitchen for coming on down to Advantage BMW and catering our event with some incredible smoked salmon, some Colombian ceviche. I think it's capuchana. All sorts of great stuff. So, again, our thanks to Liberty Kitchen. Also, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Look, you want to freshen your room up? Get over to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. Get in there. Ask for Jan Christensen and get in there. And the showroom is absolutely expansive. You feel like you're on a soccer field. So much contemporary furniture in there. It'll fit your heart's desire. It's a great time of the year. A lot going on at Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. DanishInspirations.com. We'll take a Bud Light break. We got more to come.
This is Nolan Ryan with two tips for better living. Don't charge a mile unless you're ready to do business, and listen to ESPN 97.5. Let's get ready to rumble
today.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters. A new sponsor now, Tri-Eagle Energy. And their synergy with energy, because they're also the official energy provider of the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, and BBVA Compass Stadium. So let's talk energy. There are a lot of energy providers out there, and there's always different offers going, ranging from free weekends, free days, cash bonuses, and the list goes on. You may have fallen for one of those offers, and months later, you find out you're paying a higher rate or there are additional fees on your bill. It's different with Tri-Eagle Energy. They keep it simple. The rate you see is the rate you pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges if you go over a certain amount of electricity. So check out Tri-Eagle Energy. Call 877-93-EAGLE or log on to TryEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN for an additional discount. TryEagleEnergy.com, promo code ESPN. All right, joining us now, Sporting Kansas City head coach, also former U.S. national team player, Peter Vermes. Peter, I saw your interview after leg one in Portland, and to me it's always interesting to watch you, but you already looked to me like you were thinking about game number two, and boy, just keeping level-headed here in Major League Soccer after one leg.
Well, I think that there's a couple things. I think you go into the first leg with a lot of unknowns. You don't know what the result's going to be, and so you got to go, I think, with an open mind, and then you kind of make your plan of attack from thereafter. I think we're in the middle of the road. You know, we could have lost the game, could have won the game, we wound up tying the game, we didn't give anything away, and so I think we come out in a situation where if you would have said to me beginning of the season, you would have said, hey, look, you're going to get a chance to play your last home game, and if you win it, you go to the MLS Cup final. I think we would have signed up for that in a heartbeat.
Talk to me a little bit about Matt Beisler and Graham Zusi. I mean, this is why you re-signed these guys for games like that in Portland, right?
You know, I think first and foremost, yes. But what I would say is that if you look at guys like those two, Roger Espinoza, one of the things that those guys didn't have to deal with this year is international play. And I think those guys are playing some of the best soccer they've ever played for us. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they've been able to concentrate just solely on their club. At the same time, it's always important for games like that to have your most experienced players play at the level that you want them to. And right now, those guys are not only playing extremely well, but their leadership is becoming incredibly important in the series that we've been through thus far.
One of the brightest managers in Major League Soccer, Peter Vermes of Sporting Kansas City, has won an MLS Cup already, one game away from it. What's important for a manager now? You've been through this. You've done this rodeo before. What's important in the lead up to big games, dealing with players at this level, if you took us into that sort of mindset?
I think first and foremost, you've been playing, you know, I think this is our, like, 41st game we're going to play this year when you count Open Cup and now playoffs or whatever in all the games. And so when you start looking at that, you have to understand that you've worked on everything that you can up to this moment. You have to trust in your players, and you basically just got to keep them primed for each of the games that you have coming up. And right now, that's our biggest thing. And the preparation has been there. But it's really trusting the guys and knowing that they're going to go out and give everything they have.
So a lot of talk around this game is, you know, many people are saying, and this is all good for guys on the radio and people talking about the game and engaging around it, which is healthy for all of us. But a lot of people are on this line that they believe Portland's going to kind of invite you in. You guys are going to be aggressive, and it's going to come down to, you know, maybe moments when the ball's lost in transition and making the good decisions, and that they're going to try to hit you on the counterattack. Is that one possibility of how this turns out?
I would say that about 95% of the games in Children's Mercy Park are that way all throughout the year. And they've been like that for years now. So I don't think that's anything that we're not accustomed to. I don't really look at that as some incredible game plan. I look at it as that what we need to be is we need to prepare for quite a few things. And in situations like that, what's always important is to be really good on the ball. It's one of the things that I think as a team that we've been good all year is with the ball and at the right moments. And I think that's going to be important in this game as well, especially against a team like that. That does have the opportunity to do what you said. But I would say there's a lot of teams in this league that do, and I think we've dealt with it pretty good over the course of the year.
Has it turned into a league to you that is more about teams that can break out and break out with pace that are exciting, you know, the Atlantas, the Portlands? I mean, we see it in a lot of ways. You know, New York maybe in a differing way where they're pressing the game high. I think it's been healthy from an entertainment standpoint, don't you?
Yeah, look, I think you have to have – I mean, I think different styles of play is good for the league. I also think that you have different teams that play different ways at home and on the road. And so all of those things create good games to watch on TV, good games to watch in the stadium. And I think the playoffs thus far have been actually really, really exciting. And they're exactly what people want. And that is they want goals. They want environments that are full houses and that take on a life of their own. And again, it's playoffs. It's anything can happen.
Sporting Kansas City manager Peter Vermes joining us here ahead of their second leg against the Portland Timbers on Thursday night. How much work do you do without the ball? In other words, you know, like you said, at home, a lot of these games are you with deeper defending teams trying to break them down. But there is that vital 2, 3, 4 seconds when the ball is lost. How do you kind of practice that in training and sort of get your team prepared for those moments where a decision or that's off by a second or two could be the difference?
Well, and look, I know that you have not only been playoff games, but you've done I don't know how many in commentating them as well. And you know that it's sometimes the one mistake that comes back to bite you. And that's why I think in playoff games, when you look at the discipline of a team in the way that they go forward, their balance, how good and how fast they are in transitional moments in the game, all of those things become extremely, extremely important in these types of games because of the intensity, because of the aggressiveness of teams and the way that they want to go at you and go to goal. Those are all the things that you have to be ready for as a team. And so it's things that we work on quite often in practice, and we spend a lot of time not only working on those things, but also putting ourselves in positions so that we understand how we don't get into those positions, right? Where you're working on keeping the ball in certain aspects, certain parts of the field. All of that stuff pays huge dividends over the course of the season. The one thing I can tell you is neither team is going to come up with something that's incredibly tactical at this moment that we haven't seen already this year. I think it's really going to come down to who can execute when the opportunities come and who can minimize the number of mistakes they make.
Last one before I let you go, Peter. This is wonderful stuff for my listeners. Thank you so much. Do you wake up in the middle of the night thinking about the game, or does an idea pop into your head sometimes?
What I would say is that I don't sleep a lot, and that's just I don't know. It's been like that for a long time for me, actually. So I actually wake up very early in the morning. I probably wake up a couple times during the night. And when you know, there's closer to the guy I get to a game, there's no doubt that there are a lot of different thoughts that go through my head. But I just think that comes with the profession, and it doesn't bother me. It's actually I enjoy what I do. So I just think it's part of the profession.
Peter, thank you very much for joining us tonight. We appreciate it. You're always so generous with your time, and best of luck against Portland.
Yeah, thank you, Glenn. Always a pleasure to be on your show, buddy.
All right, that's Peter Vermes, one of the best in Major League Soccer. All right, so don't forget about it. It is Sporting Kansas City in Portland this Thursday, and also Atlanta at the New York Red Bulls. Time now for a quick word here for the Kings Court. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. Kings Court, 13 monitors down there. All the different supporters groups go there, including El Bateon, right next to BBVA Compass Stadium. Rooftop deck, spectacular, great view of the stadium. British and Indian pub-style cuisine is also a winner at Kings Court. Great food, staff, selection of cocktails, all at great prices. KingsCourtHoustonTX.com. Go in, say hello to Jay. And again, our thanks to Kings Court for helping cater our event in our live radio broadcast last week down at Advantage BMW. Also, before we go, we also want to thank John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. Bilingual, whether you get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant or refinery, it is the Daspit Law Firm. They're going to have you covered. They'll work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Get the representation you need at Daspit Law Firm, our second hour presenting sponsor, DaspitLaw.com. Let's take a Bud Light break.
Stream us on your car Bluetooth with the ESPN 97.5 app.
You must do it.
Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Mmm, steaks and Bluetooth. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Hey, a quick word here for Advantage BMW. By the way, we thank them for having the live show down there last week. We had a pediatric cancer element to it. We raised some money for the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. But I've driven a BMW for years. I've leased, I've owned from Advantage. Sergio Martinez is my guy down there. He's leased and sold me probably three cars now. We all love the drive of a BMW. It's the ultimate driving machine. I got a 5 Series. I love it. The other thing I love is the customer service at BMW. I'm not the guy who's getting under the hood. I'm not that good at that. So it's customer service that is also a big part of it to me. It's second to none. Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there. They'll cover you with sales, service, and finance. It can be done so easy. Get the hometown advantage, Advantage BMW. Go down there. Say hello to Philip, Justin, and Sergio, BMWHouston.com. That is Advantage BMW in Midtown, and I can tell you they love soccer. The next guy is probably my next guest on this show. I know he's ridden motorcycles. I don't know if there were BMW motorcycles, but he is the former Dallas Burn coach. He was also the assistant coach on the under-20 national team. He has done TV, you name it. He's done it in soccer here in the United States. He's Dave Durr. Dave, thank you very much for coming on the show.
My pleasure, especially anything for a free BMW from Advantage. I think that's an awesome thing you offer your guests.
You know what? I'm gonna send your email and contacts down to Philip, Sergio, and Justin down at Advantage BMW. Dave, awesome. Thank you very much for coming on the show. I guess the first thing I want to just kind of get your thoughts, starting with the Eastern Conference first leg, Atlanta United, the New York Red Bulls. I know everybody's talking about Chris Armas and the tactical side of things and maybe changing his team and the way they played a little bit differently. Is that how you saw it?
Well, you know, how could you not be talking about it? And I understand the principle, but, you know, I do have to say that sometimes when you're coaching, you can try to do too much instead of what got you there. And I think that would – it's always easy after a game to second guess. So, you know – Chris, I have a lot of respect for, so I wouldn't necessarily second-guess him, but I guess in a way I have to because I think they really had Atlanta on their heels the entire season. It is so hard to beat a team in MLS a third time. I mean, once you beat them twice in the season, I went through that with Kansas City actually in my first year in the league, and it's a difficult thing to do with the parity in this league, but coming out a little more defensive and playing like you would a lot of times on the road for a team that is used to just really high pressure and playing a much different style, I think it looks like it was a mistake.
Isn't it just a different animal, though, having called the game there finally in Atlanta? It is something truly unique. It's different. It's certainly, it might even be a slight platform up from Seattle. But to go in there in a playoff game and the way a playoff game changes and 70,000 people, I mean, this is not the norm.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. But I also think you got to, when you're looking at the way your team plays best and then you look at what Atlanta does well and where their weaknesses are, and, you know, they're not speed demons in the back. They often play three in the back. And you know, that is a place that New York has given them a lot of problems. And, you know, to change that when you've been successful, sometimes, you know, you just outthink yourself as a coach. You're looking for some little advantage and you can, you know, there's an old saying, you can outcoach yourself. You know, you don't fix what's not broken. And so at this point, to me, you know, you have to expose Atlanta defensively in order to slow some of those horses down. And I'm not even sure you slow them down, but that's your best chance of winning those games. And New York has done that quite easily, actually, in the other games they played Atlanta.
Dave Durr, former coach of the Dallas Burn back in the days where the Burn played in the Cotton Bowl, some memorable games there, coached some memorable players. We'll get into that quickly here in a minute. But, you know, when you're talking about maybe overthinking it as a manager and all, my gut is that's happened to you. Can you cite one of the games that where maybe you overthought it and learned something?
Oh, wow. I don't have a specific game because I'll be completely honest, it happened a lot of times. I mean, a lot of times where you're successful. I won two championships in a row in the A-League before MLS ever started. And there was a lot of times where I made games that we had handled teams that were really teams that we had beaten all season. I made those games more difficult. But the one, if I had to pick one that stood out for me, was that Kansas City series. We had beaten them handily during the regular season in MLS that first year and came into a playoff match where they had no business beating us. And I made some adjustments to the way that we played because we had played them twice and I wanted to give them a little different wrinkle and basically outcoached myself. And they ended up winning the series. And I can tell you, rest in peace, Ron Newman, who passed away because he was an awesome personality. He rode that final game in the bus and he gave all his players little championship banners like they had already won the game just as a motivator. So it was a great story, you know, and I ended up learning a lot from that first series, you know, and fixed a few things that I shouldn't have fixed, and we ended up losing the final game.
Speaking of Dave Durr, coach in Major League Soccer, he's coached the under-20 national team with Thomas Rongen, has done a tremendous amount of work in youth player development as well in this country, and he also joined the dark side, getting into TV and radio, and does host a show with Annie Warner on ESPN Radio in Tallahassee. All right, let's go on to the MLS Western Conference. First leg in Portland. I guess everybody's saying that Sporting Kansas City is positioned well for the second match here. What about Peter Vermees' side did you like in this game?
Well, they've shown, you know, how you just get a feeling as a former player or coach that someone has an edge, and I think Kansas City has had that all season. They you know, represent their coach, and I think that's what I've always appreciated about Peter is players play a style, and they know what that style is, and you can just interchange players, and they come out and play the same way with the same commitment, and they really have that competitive edge that not a lot of teams have for every game of the season, and they do a good job of doing that all the way through. It's one of the reasons I've kind of plugged them for national team coach, at least, you know, and the little bit of plug that I've had on radio, but at the end of the day, I think that that's the edge they have, and they are just battle tested and they're playing these games like it's the last hurrah. Not scoring a goal on the road, though, this is anybody's game, and he'll be the first one to tell you that they've got to play well at home. And I think if they make the mistake New York made, of course, New York was on the road, and play a little more conservative at home, I think that's going to cost them. They've got to come out and play the way they played all season and put a couple goals on Portland, which has shown that they're susceptible to giving up goals. They've just also shown that they have you know, a strong mental fortitude and can come back from giving up those goals. But I think it's important for KC to be conscious defensively, you know, and make sure they're organized because they have had some games where that is change where they relax a little bit when they had a lead, but I think this game they got to put the pedal to the middle.
So I look at Portland and I'm thinking to myself, they're going to probably know that Sporting will without a doubt, I think, come out very aggressively at home. I think the fans demand that. I think Peter wants to play that way, which, as you said, they better be conscious defensively when the ball turns over, because, you know, they can fly with Diego Valeri and what's his name? Sebastian Blanco and a number of others.
They've been playing really well in the Espria. They got a lot of horses.
Yeah.
And they're great on the counter. But, you know, you look at their back four, once again, they're Ridgewell and Villafana. That's not the fastest pair in the back. Zusi should be able to get down that wing. Russell should have some joy down that wing. And I think they can expose them defensively. You know, but you got to be really aware of the counter. And if Zusi and Sinovic start just getting too far forward and forgetting their responsibilities to be a little balanced, they're going to have problems.
So when you talk to your wingbacks before a game like that, do you say to them, look, I don't want you both joining in at the same time? How much of this has to do with your number six with these guys going forward? I mean, what do you tell them? What would you have told a Dallas Byrne team back in the day?
Well, you know, it's probably why I'm not coaching anymore, because I was always a little over-aggressive. But at the end of the day, I think that you got to put your players in the positions what they do best. And with Kansas City, they've got Espinoza and Sanchez in the middle who need to see the ball if they're going to be successful. That's kind of who they connect through. And I think it's important that Zusi and Sinovic pick their times. You know, it's very easy to relax against Portland. And just relax, period, because of the quality Kansas City has. They get a lot of the ball. And when you're holding the ball at times, sometimes you go, oh, well, I can take this risk because, you know, they're not going to expose me. And then it just takes that one time. So you have that talk with those players individually, I think. You don't want the team even having that in their mind, except for your usual balance, you know, to be conscious in transition and make sure that you put a stop to that first pass and not let it get, you know, into your back third.
Dave, through your lens, did you ever see MLS being in the place it is now with Atlanta and Seattle and, you know, Sporting Kansas City selling out? Did you ever see that?
I would be a very rich man if I saw that. But, you know, I'd like to lie to you and say I did. I was so excited when I came into the league that first year because we opened up the Cotton Bowl with, you know, a little over 30,000, and I went from, you know, playing in a high school stadium in front of a couple thousand. So as good as the Foxes were in the APSL, it was, I just thought this is the be-all, end-all. And then, you know, over a long period of time, some moves need to be made. And you know, you got to credit the people in place, like the current commissioner and the ownerships of these different teams. But they made some really important moves, especially from a stadium perspective, that changed the entire league and its longevity in my mind. And now they're investing in the youth player, which is what I asked for back then. I think that was the place where we needed to grow. And you're seeing, you know, as much as everybody's complaining about the model we have in this country, you're seeing a lot of the players on our national teams in free academies with MLS teams and now playing for our youth teams. And I think while that's not an immediate thing you see, you're going to see that long-term continue to be a tremendous benefit.
Are you a little concerned that some of the academy programs in certain cities are going to be a little bit too homogenized, that they just want the lay of the entire land and that's going to be detrimental?
Oh, of course. I never believe in, it's what makes our country great. You know, you need competition. And there's not one way to get a player. You know that. I mean, I came from, a real athletic background, but I was a goalkeeper, but I played multiple sports. You know, tomorrow you'll find another kid that finds a different avenue. And we haven't even touched on, you know, the Latino influence in our country. So I just think there's a lot of ways to find players. You can't eliminate any of them, but having an avenue where players can play free and get competition, I also don't think that's a bad thing.
He's Dave Durr joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Last question before I let you go, Dave, and this one may hit home a little bit. You answer this the way you want. I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but are you disappointed that FC Dallas is not more relevant on the sports landscape in the Dallas Fort Worth area?
Yeah, I am. And, I have to be honest. You know me. I think people, you got to be genuine when you're speaking. And I always will have a place in my heart for Dallas and Colorado, for that matter, because I came from Colorado to Dallas. So those are two teams that I wish nothing but the best. And I think that there's been a lot of opportunities in those markets, which have, I don't want to say been squandered, because I love the way Dallas has built their academy. But, in order to make that last hump, they're going to have to invest. And I think that there needs to be an investment in how you sell the product as well. We're still not at a point where you can go into a market like Dallas where they have so many other top sports that are followed and not put real money and investment into making it one of those type of teams from an advertising standpoint and from a TV standpoint and a way that they market their product.
Dave, thank you so much for coming on the show. Dave Durr, Dallas Burn, back in the days of coaching Hugo Sanchez and Oscar Perea and Lionel Alvarez, some wonderful teams, and also a guy that has done it at every level of the sport here in the United States. Dave, thank you very much for coming on the program tonight, and also a guy that I consider a friend.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it. And let's go have a beer and a smoke in the locker room after this.
Let's do it. Dave Durr. I'll tell that story to my listeners after this.
Okay.
All right. That's Dave Durr. We appreciate Dave coming on here tonight. Great insight from him. Had some good stuff on both the conference final second legs, which are coming this Thursday night. So it's right around the corner. We're going to take a Bud Light break here. Again, a big thank you to Bud Light and Camilo Rojas and company for all they've done for this show. They've helped keep it on the air. So when you're considering your beer choices, Bud Light is a good one. Bud Light, for years, has sponsored soccer in this town, has helped bring this show on the radio airwaves, and trust me, have been big supporters of mine. So a big thank you to Bud Light. So we'll take a Bud Light break.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, we wrap up the second and final hour here. Again, our thanks to the Daspit Law Firm. A moment here for our second hour presenting sponsor, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and this firm are personal injury attorneys. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. You might get in a car accident, motorcycle, industrial construction, plant, refinery. These are not comfortable situations. You need representation. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm will have you covered. They'll work 24-7 nights and weekends for you. Get you the representation you need. DaspitLaw.com, proud sponsors of Soccer Matter, ESPN 97.5. Last segment here tonight is a good one because it has a big local touch here. And as you know, I always like shining the light on those who have come from our soccer community to go on to achieve great things. And there's many of them out there, and there's many of them I don't know about. This is one I do know about. Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish men's soccer team, has gotten to the Elite Eight. They will take on Indiana this coming, I believe, Friday or Saturday in the Elite Eight to go to the NCAA College Cup, which will be held out in Santa Barbara, California. Joining us now, a former Houston area youth product, played for the Hurricane Soccer Club, also was a top player at Notre Dame, Chad Riley, their coach, joining us now. Chad, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Glenn, thank you very much for having me.
Great familiar. You know, I'm talking to Chad Riley, and I remember this little guy who loved dribbling a ball and and passing a ball and doing all the skillful things in soccer, and here you are coaching Notre Dame. Let's first talk a little bit about your matchup against Indiana. You guys played a very close game during the regular season at your place at Notre Dame. This looks to be a very good matchup on the weekend.
Yeah, no, I think we're really excited about it. We got through a tough Virginia team at home in the round of 16, and now Indiana, I think they're 19-2. They're rolling a little bit, but I don't, you know, I think we're excited about the matchup. We lost 2-1 to them in overtime at our place early in the season. And so, yeah, we're, you know, it's NCAA tournament time. It's knockout soccer time, so we're excited about this game.
All right, what's the most important thing for an NCAA college coach at a program like Notre Dame to do in the next coming days with your players to prepare them for this? Because, you know, you as a college player know there's a lot of differing influencing factors that go on here. It's not solely about soccer because you're still getting an education.
Exactly. No, and I think, you know, this is where you rely on a lot of the work you do kind of in the off season and during the season of really, you know, I found the trick, and maybe it's just with younger players, of really just taking everything. It's cliche, but a day at a time. You know, they have a lot of things going on in their life. I think college soccer is unique to where, you know, some guys' seasons and careers are going to end at the same time. So there's a little extra anxiety, a little extra stress. And I think helping have a good rhythm throughout the year and then really relying on that rhythm through this time, I think really helps ensure the best performances of just being focused on, okay, you know, today we did a video session, you know, it was talking about us. We're not talking about the game that's on Friday. We're just talking about how do we get a little bit better from our last game. And I think that really, really helps teams. So that's really, as a coach right now, what I'm focused on is just helping them really stay in the moment, stay present, and as they build towards their performance.
Chad Riley, coaching Notre Dame, joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. They'll take on Indiana this coming weekend. How much or when does the talk about the tendencies of Indiana come? Does that come closer to game time?
Yeah. No, that's a good question. I mean, I think, you know, part of the nice part of actually every team we've played in the NCAA so far, we've actually played them in the regular season. So I think there's enough familiarity to where it's not this kind of unknown quantity. But I've gotten to where, and maybe it's the I don't even know, they're not millennials anymore, the Generation Z, or we do a little bit the day before, like we'll do a tactical walkthrough a little bit the day before. But then it's the day of, right before our pregame meals, kind of when we do our main scout and show our video and kind of go over some of the things. So really, you know, we try to really not build that kind of positive intensity and anxiety until really game day.
And is it fresher in people's minds then if you kind of go over it right before the game?
Exactly.
Jad Riley joining us, head coach of Notre Dame. Tell us a little bit about your team, how you play, because I'm wondering if you play in the vein of how I knew you as a youth player.
Yeah. I think, you know, we play, you know, 4-2-3-1. We can make some adjustments to where it looks a little bit more like a 4-3-3. And I think, you know, our goal is always to control the game with the ball as much as we can, but to kind of play with a purpose and really try to create quality chances as quickly as we can while maintaining control of the ball. And then I think, depending on our opponent, whether they build or not, that'll sort of give us our pressing side to our game without the ball. But yeah, we like to be a kind of fast-paced, creative team. I like to say we're never going to quite play like them, but my favorite team to watch right now is Liverpool. And so we're always trying to play. We've got young players, so we should play with a lot of energy. And then young players with energy and skill is what we're looking for at Notre Dame.
So back when Bobby Clark was the coach, I had the pleasure and the privilege of calling the NCAA College Cup when they won their title in Philadelphia in freezing cold weather. So are these players even aware of that?
They are, yeah. So the guys that were fifth years just graduated right before I came back. And so they really – and then we're fortunate. We have our volunteer coach is a first-year law student at Notre Dame who was a backup goalkeeper on that national championship team. So he's pretty good about it. He doesn't hold it over him too much, but no, they're aware of it. And I think it's always in the back of our mind. We want to get the second star as quickly as we can.
How much contact do you have with Bobby Clark now?
A lot. I actually exchanged quite a few emails with him today. So he's back in Scotland, and I sent him our Virginia game because he wasn't able to. He got the audio, but he didn't get the video, so he was bummed about that. So I sent him a link to the game, so he just watched our game and gave me some good feedback.
So it's pretty amazing the relationship you have with him. I mean, what does he mean to you as a mentor? Because, you know, you picked a great guy to be around.
Yeah, no, I feel, you know, obviously you're a big part of that, you and Tony, you know, instilling kind of the love of the game, you know, as a youth player. Then I was actually exchanging text messages with Paul McGinley, the Trinity coach, who was one of my ODP coaches. And then, you know, I think in a lot of ways, Bobby kind of capped all of that off when I was a player for him. I just, you know, especially in our setting, I always tell people I'm not a disgruntled professional coach. You know, I could go try that, but I really love the educational part of it. I love working with 18 to 22-year-olds, and I think Bobby really showed, you know, the way you can do that at a very high level while still, you know, helping produce professional players and doing those things. So it obviously means a great deal. And then to come here after I was at Dartmouth for 6 years was such a blessing. And the nice part of the transition was just really natural because he was actually around for the first 4 or 5 months with me. So it was really fun for the current guys to see kind of our relationship. And I think it really helped with the transition overall.
Boy, wonderful. Jad Riley, he is the coach in Notre Dame. They're taking on Indiana. He is, by the way, a Houston product, so here's another reason to root for Notre Dame this weekend against a very good Indiana who's always got good teams with Todd Yeagley. Chad has done an amazing job, has been mentored as well by the great Bobby Clark. So after saying all that, and I loved your answer there where you talked about mentoring and working with youth, I don't think there's anything more honorable than working and teaching and guiding youth. But where does the college game now, which is often, you know, it's spoken about in a lot of different ways. There's a lot of MLS players that went the college route, maybe less these days, but there still are some. Where does it sit in the soccer landscape in your eyes, Chad, in this country?
Yeah, I think, you know, the way I like it is that everyone succeeds if they get their degree. I think we know the professional soccer career can be fickle, and I think hopefully we can carve out that niche to where, let's be honest, too, we're a country of late bloomers. And so I think there's always going to be, now is it going to be 80% of the MLS coming through college? Probably not. You know, the Pulisics, the guys that really go and get big minutes and clubs are committed to, I think it's incredibly nice that we have this opportunity for them to kind of really test themselves. But then I think we fill a niche, and I think it was displayed a little bit in some of the bigger leagues now, like N'Golo Kanté, you know, Oliver Giroud, these guys that, you know, bloom a little bit late. You know, they're usually kind of team guys. You know, so I think there's always going to be a percentage represented in our professional league because there's going to be guys that don't give up on it, that develop late, and that'll become, you know, good pieces of teams. So I think it's just changing. I'm excited about the change. I think, you know, maybe some older college coaches are bummed not to be the top of the pyramid, but I think we play a vital role in that kind of, you know, I liken it to look what the Premier League is doing right now, right? They've created an under-21 league or an under-23 league, and they're like, okay, you know, maybe not all 200 Division I teams are great quality, but we probably have 50 or 60 now that are good under 23 teams with good talent. So I think we really kind of fit that, you know, if someone's not certain about whether they can make that step, I think we're a great place for people to figure out their own game and for clubs to figure out what players they want to invest in.
Something beautiful about the honesty of the college game. And by the way, the facilities are absolutely unbelievable these days. He's Chad Riley, first season at Notre Dame. They are all the way to the Elite Eight. They will take on Indiana this weekend. Grew up playing the game in Bear Creek Park. You make sure you say hello to your mom and dad for me.
I will.
And I wish you the best of luck, Chad, against Indiana. Great having you on the show and great insight.
All right. Thanks so much, Glenn.
All right. That's Chad Riley. We wrap it up in a big way here tonight. He was a great youth player here in town, went on to play in college as well. His father was very committed to the game here in Houston as well. So these are some of the stories that nobody really knows about, which I'm entrusted to hopefully find and tell you. And you know what? You can also let me know when you have those stories and you know where to find me. All right. We wrap it up tonight here. Quick word here for Kings Court, place to be in Edo. Kings Court, 903 Hutchins in the shadows of BBVA Compass Stadium. 13 monitors for all your soccer watching desires, covering leagues from around the world. The rooftop deck spectacular. Go down there, say hello to Jay. His wife cooks up amazing Indian food. All the supporters groups go down there. And again, we thank Jay and Kings Court for bringing food out to Advantage BMW this past week. And also Bud Light. Bud Light has been a longtime sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Camilo Rojas and company brought us out a bunch of great beer. I think we had some Carbach Love Street, right, Tyler, and some Bud Light. They helped us make it a great event down at Advantage BMW this past week. So our thanks to Bud Light, official beer sponsor of Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. For Tyler Scott, Victor Ariza, remember, Soccer Matters. Get the podcast at podcastarena.com, iTunes. Good night. Till next Tuesday. Peace out.